an interactive Bible study hosted by women just for women. You ladies could be anywhere else tonight, but you chose to be here with us, ready to share in the Word. My name is Jaleesa Granger, and I will be your moderator tonight, Thursday, February 27, 2025. I first would like to thank the founder of Growing in Grace, Sister Vicki Jordan Williams, our favorite teacher preacher, for creating this opportunity for women to gather and grow in God. Tonight, the women of Growing in Grace will be discussing important issues and topics that matter to us, active, working, and busy, busy women. This interactive Bible study is devoted to empowering women to live vicarious lives, not just tonight, but every day. We look forward to great discussion, sharing the inspiring and transformative Word of God, meeting each woman exactly where she is. However, before we begin, there are a few housekeeping rules that we need to share. Because this is an interactive Bible study hosted telephonically, we must be mindful of background noise and each other. With that, we kindly request the following. One, keep your phone on mute at all times and remain on mute until the speaker opens the line for questions and or comments regarding the lesson. Second, once you have offered your comment or completed your response, we ask that you please return to mute. And lastly, to make space for each other who may want to participate in tonight's discussion, we ask that you please limit your response or discussion to no more than 2 minutes. This will create the opportunity for more women to chime in and share or ask a question. Well, tonight we're in for a treat, ladies. Our topic is Do Not Lose Faith, Jesus is in the boat. We will be reading from Mark 4, chapters 35 through 41, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Again, tonight's topic is Do Not Lose Faith, Jesus is in the boat. We'll be reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Please remember to keep your phones on mute at all times. But before we begin, let's pray and turn our hearts toward God and invite him into our discussion tonight. Magalie?
Great God, we bless you. We adore you. We honor you and celebrate you tonight for your unconditional compassion and your kindness toward this beautiful audience of Growing in Grace. Oh, Father, in your word, you tell us that while two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. Almighty God, during this privileged hour that we are gathered in this interactive study of your word, be in your midst, Lord. Bless us, great Jehovah. Help us to be attentive to your word, to be very willing to share and to open ourselves to others, for the edification of the souls of each woman participating in this spiritual dialogue. Holy God, creator of all things, inspire our sister Vicki, the speaker. Speak to her, to know you better, and thus nourish our soul and spirit to have encouraged a better intimacy with you. We ask you this, Lord, not by our merits, but by the merits of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Vicki, for the opportunity to do the opening prayer. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. I'm stirred tonight. I'm stirred tonight. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Good evening, ladies, and welcome to another evening with Growing in Grace. Praise the Lord, everybody. We serve a good God. We serve an amazing God, a kind and compassionate God, a God who hears and cares about every one of us and about everything concerning us. So we enjoy taking the time to place our praise into the atmosphere, to remind ourselves about the characteristic and attributes of the God that we serve. He's been so good to me, and I know he's been good to you all as well. He woke you up this morning. So if you're on the line with us tonight, God has been good to you. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Last week's message, Confidence in His Word, is a message about faith, belief in Christ's Word, possessing full confidence in the inspired Word of God. That without having any visible proof of the outcome, with no manifestation of what the end is going to be, you believe Christ. You trust the Word of God. And despite the sudden and unexpected fog that's rolled into your life this week to block your view of your shoreline, whatever that is in your life, you're still believing. Taking Christ at His word. That your stance this week has been that if Christ said it, then it's a done deal for me. Praise the Lord. So tonight's message is not any different. It's similar to last week's message. Remaining on the biblical theme of faith. And we know that we need a lot of faith, not just because it's a new year, but because it's pivotal to our journey and our walk with the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. Being fully confident in the Word of God. That's what faith is. Being fully confident in the Word of God, period. Fully confident, period. So I want to stop right here, ladies, and I want to pose a question before we dive into the message. What does that period mean to you? When I say faith is being fully confident in the Word of God, period, what does that period mean to you? I want to open up the lines. Amen.
Amen. To me, it means no question, no doubt. This Tracy.
Amen, amen. Someone else?
God bless
to
you.
To me, it means anything and everything.
Amen, amen. I hear someone else.
God bless you, sis. For me, it simply means that sometimes we tend to add options to things, and for me, when you add the period to it, it means it's conclusive. There is no room for wavering or anything else. God bless.
Amen, amen, amen. I have time for one more. Well, for me, that period translates into despite what may come, come hell or high water, I trust God. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter the opinion of others, I trust what the Word of God says about my situation, my life, everything concerning me. Faith is having confidence in God's Word. That's what it is, despite not having any physical proof of the outcome. That's basically what faith is. It's not having that promotion in your hand yet, but you believe God. That your disability or the condition in your body, it hasn't changed, but you believe God. That the reconciliation that you've been praying and asking God for, it has not occurred, but you still believe God. And that child that you've been praying for so long, he's still misbehaving, but you still believe God. And so as we delve into the message tonight, I want you to hold on to what faith means to you. What is your period when it comes to having confidence in God? So let's move into the message. I want to give a little background of what's going on here in this message. Jesus calms the storm. That earlier in Capernaum, which is Jesus' home base during much of his ministry, Jesus had preached to a large crowd of followers all day long. On top of that, he had traveled around Capernaum spreading the good news and healing the sick and casting out demonic spirits to establish the kingdom of God. He was about his Father's business. And when evening had come, Jesus and his disciples got on a boat and left Capernaum to travel to the Decapolis to spread the gospel to Gentiles, to a group that had not yet received the message of the kingdom of God. And the Decapolis is a collection of 10 cities. It was about 35 miles across the Sea of Galilee. That's the distance that Jesus and the disciples had to row. It was an area that was heavily influenced by Hellenistic culture, Greek culture. It was a prominent area of idolatry and pagan worship, and the folk in the Decapolis enjoyed their freedom and liberties of sexual expression with their pagan holidays and festivals and all of that kind. And also most prominent is that they were extremely hostile towards Jews. Also, it's important to make note of is that the disciples were experts. They were professional fishermen. They had been raised in the fishing industry. Their fathers were fishermen. Four of the disciples were fishermen, and they were brothers. They had spent years of fishing in the Sea of Galilee. They were familiar with that body of water. But on that evening, that event, that sudden rage of water, a squall, they panicked. They became full of fear. So as we read in Mark 4:35, it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. Jesus said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. It's important. I want you to hold on to that. Jesus had basically prophesied to his disciples. He had told them that they were all going and that they were going to the other side. He had given them their final destination. That in this it means that his word is truth. His word is an assurance that we will arrive in any case to the other side. God's word is a command, and it must be carried out. Because the word of God reminds us that Christ is the master of the earth. And when he says a thing, we can count it as prophecy. We can count on what he has said. Because what his mouth speaks, his hands will perform. In this life, as disciples of Christ, we are called to first believe. Let us go to the other side. Then we'll see. Jesus and his disciples survived the storm and safely made it to the other side, just as he stated. We're called to believe that despite not ever knowing how or even if things will work out, without having a glimpse of the shoreline or proof that we'll actually make it through the storm and onto the other side, we're called to still believe. To believe God, to remain still and unwavering, demonstrating our faith and confidence in what Christ says in his word. That's what he's asking us to do. That despite not being able to see the other side of that bridge, understanding that we serve a sovereign God, and he does not have to show us the shoreline. He doesn't have to show us the other side of the bridge. Because his word is the proof. His word is the proof of what you cannot see right now. And faith in what his word says is the manifestation, it's the substance of the things that we're hoping for. That's what faith is. That's what confidence in the word of God is. The word of God is your receipt, as young folks say. If that's your receipt, you can hold up the word of God and show the enemy your receipt. The word of God, being the inspired word of God, absolutely establishes whatever God has said or is saying about you, about what you need, about what you desire, about what you're hoping for. And our confidence should always be in that word. That's the evidence. Our faith, our confidence is the evidence. And when the enemy comes to buffet you or to challenge you about what the word of God says, we can hold them up every scripture that has something to do with what we're hoping God for. Ain't that right? For example, if you believe in God for a pay increase or increased traffic to your online store because you need additional income in your household budget, then every scripture that speaks about God's provision for his own is your proof. That's your receipt. That's what you remind the enemy. Every scripture is proof of your healing. Every Old Testament, every New Testament Bible story is a testament. That's your proof of your breakthrough. That's how you have your deliverance. You have been delivered because the word of God declares that you are a new creation in Christ. You are victorious because the word of God declares that you're the head and not the tail. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when you're waiting on God to move in your life, you already have a receipt. You already have proof that God's going to come through for you. Because it's in the word of God. Every promise and everything that we need from God is in the word. And when you start to waver, when we start to waver, when doubt starts to seep in, we can go to that word. We can pull that receipt and we can show it to the enemy. We can speak it into the atmosphere to encourage ourselves. Hold up your receipt because that is your proof that God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. We can count on the word. Show the enemy your receipt because we win every single time. God cannot violate his word. That's his character. His word cannot fail. God will not fail. He cannot fail. He is faithful. It's about the character of God. That when his word go forth, it cannot return unto him void. It must accomplish. It must perform everything that he sent his word to do. God is not a man. Christ is not a man that he should lie. Because of the Lord's promises, we can count on it. Because the Lord has promised to supply every one of our needs according to his riches and glory, then he must do it. Because he's a promise keeper. He's a faithful God. And he stands by his character. So before I move forward further into the lesson, I want to ask another question. That based upon your own experiences and relationship with God, which of his characteristics, what are his attributes and character about God that was most revealing to you during a storm or a season or a challenging time in your life? The line is open. What say you? Go ahead.
For me, the receipt I have is I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Amen. I like that receipt. I like that one. Thank you. Someone else. What's your receipt?
My receipt is his everlasting love. No matter what I go through, I can feel his love and his peace and the assurance to know that I'm going through. Because we said, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fear and evil, knowing that on the other side, I just have to stay focused on what God has called me to do and don't be moved by what I see, what I hear, what I feel in the five senses, knowing that God is able to do what he said he's going to do, and his word will come to pass without a shadow of a doubt.
Amen, amen, amen. His word will come to pass. I like that receipt. I have time for two more.
I would say that my receipt is God's dependability. I can depend on him to do exactly as he said. And that he keeps his promises, even if it seems unlikely to me in my eyes. He's faithful, and he will establish what he purposed in me and through me.
Amen, amen. That's the word. That's the word. I'm enjoying these receipts. They're all based on what the word says, because it's not about motivating ourselves. That receipt has got to be trenched in the word of God. It's got to be based in the word, because that's what the enemy is going to back up off. He's going to back up off the word. When we can place that word into the atmosphere, when we can rear our heads back and remind the enemy of what the word of God says, that's a receipt. My receipt is faithfulness. When everything post-surgically had gone so, so very wrong, I doubted a lot. And I've shared this testimony with you all a lot. I questioned, had I missed God? I was unsure if this is why I was experiencing so much failure in my post-surgical recovery. Like, maybe God didn't call me to do this, but God. When I was able to quiet myself down, or I should say the Holy Spirit quieted me down, the Spirit of God assured me. And I shared this testimony about when the Lord told me to look at the four corners of the room. And I thought God was joking, like, you know I can't look at the four corners of a room. I can't go any further but up. He was like, that's exactly where I want you, looking up. And then I want you to zoom out and zoom back in and get a different perspective of what's going on here. You're not laying in a bed, dwindling away. You are looking up. You are recovering. And you are praising me. I have you exactly where I want you. That he assured me that my end would be better than my beginning. And saints of God, God came through. Because you all heard my testimony about having the best physical therapist that I believe on this side of heaven. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. God demonstrated to me that he is faithful. And because of the physical therapist who's assigned to me, that I believe that my recovery will be complete, because he's done it before and I trust him. And I believe that God assigned it, that God aligned it. Because what I didn't tell you all when I shared the testimony originally is that Brian was not an employee at the VA. He was not a government employee. He was in private practice 7 years ago when he rehabbed my knee following my knee reconstruction surgery. Brian wasn't a government employee. So somehow, some way, through the alignment and the movement of God, that's how I want to believe it, that when I showed up for physical therapy, Brian was my physical therapist. Because God is faithful. My end has been far better than my beginning. and I trust him and I thank him. He is a faithful God. So I say again that when we are waiting on God to move in our lives, whether it's in our body or in our finances or with reconciliation or whatever we believe in God for, that sometimes we ought to throw our heads back, look towards heaven, and call those things that be not as though they were. Sometimes that all of us need to look at the four corners of our room. We ought to be able to look up and be reminded of what God is able to do. We ought to remind the enemy that I have more than enough, that I serve a God of the increase, that the Lord has promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me, that I believe those things because it's in the word of God, that I have a steadfast, unmovable receipt, and that I serve a God who is faithful and unchanging. That's the God that I serve. So it's helpful, ladies, to sometimes place the word of God into the atmosphere and speak your healing, speak your promotion, speak your renewed mind, and whatever it is that you want in God to move in your life into existence. Encourage yourself. Build up your most holy faith. Because God and the Holy Spirit are rooting us on at all times. They're waiting. They're waiting on us to be encouraged through the word. Amen? Amen, amen. But I want to make clear something, that what I'm talking about is not naming and claiming. This is not what I'm talking about, naming it and claiming it. That this faith that I'm talking about is not the absence of your reality. We're not asking you to have no awareness of what's actually unfolding in your life. In fact, faith does not require that we pretend that what is not really what's going on. We ought to claim those things that be not as though they were, but it doesn't mean that you suppress what is actually going on in your life. It's your reality. Because otherwise, it would be delusional. When your body is sick and in pain, you're in pain. You're actually in pain. You're hurting. You're in pain. That when someone you love breaks your heart, you're hurting. That hurts. Because these events are real. They're painful. That what we're saying is that faith allows you to hold on to the reality of the things you desire or the things that you hope for, even when you can't physically see or experience them yet. It's sitting in the thing that's actually going on in your life, the pain that you're feeling, the broken heart that you're going through, the bills that are not, that need to get paid. That's a reality. But it's trusting and believing God that the bill is going to get paid without ever seeing the bill being paid. That's speaking it into existence. It's not asking you to disown what you're actually going through, disown what you're really feeling, but to not allow what you're feeling to be greater than your faith. It's asking you to not allow what you're feeling to be greater than your faith. It's asking you to move away from the problem and focus on the promise. Amen? So if I had three important points about this message that I wanted to bring, this is what those three points would be. One, there will be troubled times. Two, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. And three, everything that God does is for his glory. One, we live in a fallen world, ladies. Bad things happen to good people, just like good things happen to bad people. The word of God reminds us that he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Saints of God we are not exempt from painful times. We've talked about this a lot over the last few weeks. In fact, the Word of God reminds us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, that part, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And that's encouraging. It's all because oftentimes, we want God to remove all the obstacles, all the rain, all the waves, all the storms. We don't want any of that. But ladies, that's not faith. If Christ removed every trial, every challenging time, every tough situation, we would not need faith. We would not need God. Everything's gravy. And secondly, we wouldn't grow. We wouldn't grow in our confidence towards God. We wouldn't be a character as we pursue godliness and grow up in our spiritual relationship with God. And we wouldn't go deep. Our intimacy wouldn't grow in the Lord. So it's important. Tough times and challenging times and trials and tribulations are important in our lives. They're working out for our good. God has it all under control. And there's a purpose for your pain. And just like the Lord challenged me during my recovery, that you're not laying on your back withering away. I'm going to left you here. That this is an opportunity for you to pray. This is an opportunity for just the two of us. You have nothing else on your plate to focus on but lay here. But this particular time is not just wasting away. It's a development. This is a boot camp. This is an opportunity for us to grow good in our relationship because it's just the two of us. You have a lot of time on your hand, and I'm going to use that time to take you deeper in a relationship with you. That's something I have prepared for you. And I'm using this time. So we have to trust the Lord that even in the tough times, that even when the waves are crashing against our boat, that we can say, but God has not brought me here in the middle of this sea to let me drown. He has not brought me here to let me drown. There is purpose in my pain. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He cares about our troubled times and will not allow us to drown. We will make it to the other side. In Mark 37:38, it says that a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. I'm going to stop right there. Y'all, Jesus was sleeping on a cushion. That little piece on a cushion, it could have just said that Jesus was sleeping. But no, Jesus was sleeping on a cushion. That though Jesus was sleeping, he was not slacking. He's always attentive to everything concerning us. And what this situation reveals for us is important. That Jesus was both man and God. It reveals his humanity and his deity. That he was truly a man. And also absolutely God incarnate. That because Jesus was asleep in the stern, that was his humanity. And when he spoke and the elements immediately quieted, that was his deity. That Jesus Christ as God has almighty power. He speaks to the waves and they submit to his command. That's because the elements knew the voice of the master. And like any obedient servant, they bowed down and became quiet. And that is the same power that we have in our lives, baby. It's the same power. That we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead, living big and large on the inside of us. And when the receipt, when the word of God says that we have the power to speak to every mountain in our lives, and it must be removed, not just removed, but cast into the sea. It's got to go. It's got to move out of our way. Because the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. It's our ability. It's our power through the Holy Spirit. That's our receipt. That we can speak to whatever it is that's going on in our lives. And it's got to go. It has to move under the sound of our voice, under the authority of the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, speaking the Word of God to every one of our situations. This is why I made the point very important. I wanted to make the point clear that it's not being motivational. It's speaking the Word of God. I cannot say that enough. It's speaking the Word of God to your situation. That's your authority. That's your power through the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. In these verses, Jesus shows us the behavior to adopt in difficult situations. In times of trouble, we ought to take our cushion and go to sleep. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to pick up our cushion and go to sleep. We trick the enemy when we do that. We do not fear because we are confident, not in and of ourselves. Not that there's any great or wonderful thing about us, but because of the power and Spirit of God that lives within us, that we can take up our cushion and go to sleep. Everything that God does is for His glory. Everything. When God steps into our lives, He performs according to His purpose, His perfect will, and His schedule for our lives. Let me say that again, just that last part. His schedule for our lives. When Romans 8:28 reminds us that all things work together for the good. You all know the rest. For the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For the good. Not our good, not your good, not a good, the good. But one of the characters of God is He is good. So if God is good and it works together for the good, then it seems to me that it works together for God. It all works together for His plan, His purpose, His perfect will, and according to His schedule. God is not late. According to our date, He is always right on time. When God steps into our lives to calm storms, when we're believing we're drowning from bills or disappointment, loss or sorrow, heartbreak, brokenness, or just worn down by life, He does it for His glory and for His purpose. That there was a purpose for my pain. God wasn't playing around with me. He was doing something for me according to His plan and His perfect will in my life. Everything that God does is for His glory. Every time He steps into our lives to move on our behalf, to heal us or to deliver us or to set us free or to reveal something to us, He does it to bring glory to His name. And oftentimes in that we're hurting. Recovery was hard, ladies. But God's best plan for us is sometimes painful. But be assured, He cares. He's using your pain to perfect you. He's using your pain to perfect you. He's using it for his glory. And I'm reminded of the story of Lazarus. I know we're talking about Jesus and the disciples in the boat, but this is relevant. That when Jesus announced this sickness would not end in death, Jesus knew Lazarus would physically die, despite what he had said. He also knew that he would call Lazarus out from death to rise to life for the disciples and for the onlookers. Christ was not double-minded. He knew that physical death would reveal his power and authority over death. And because we have to be reminded that previously Christ had revealed his power and authority over disease, over demons, over distance, now over nature, and now death. That he was establishing that he is the Messiah. And he was using the miracles that he was performing to establish that he was indeed God incarnate. Because only God could perform the miracles that he was performing. He was about his Father's business. The miracles had a purpose. The death had a purpose. The storm had a purpose. So Jesus wasn't crying because he had failed his friends. He wept because he's human. He was asleep in the stern because he was human. He was tired. He wept because he's human. He grieved. He experienced sorrow. He experienced compassion. Lazarus was his dear friend. So Jesus was asleep because he's human. He was tired. He preached all day. So God is not playing around with your life. He's not. He's not sticking it to you. Through his word, trust and believe that he is in the boat with you. He's not asleep and ignoring your cries for help and relief. He's already prophesied your ending. And you will make it through the storm and to the other side of this journey. So remain in the boat. Trust his word. Keep rowing. And don't focus on the problem. Focus on the promise of his word. That whatever it is that you're going through, that the word of God has a solution. That's a prescription for what you're going through. Remind the enemy of every receipt that is outlined in the word of God. He set it up for us. That's his love letter to us. So as I come to my conclusion and to sum it all up, this message encourages us to go to Jesus in all the storms of our life, in every area of our lives, knowing, ladies, knowing that the boat will not, no. The boat cannot sink. As long as Jesus is on board and is a passenger in the boat with us, he will complete the good work that he begun in us. Let me say that again. He will complete the good work that he begun in us. Be encouraged that no trial or storm is so strong that God cannot quiet them or bring it into his submission. There's nothing that's so threatening or hardcore that God cannot change it. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Jesus knew before leaving Capernaum that the storm was coming. Jesus knew before getting in the boat and leaving the shores of Capernaum that he and his disciples would encounter a storm. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of our faith. He's the creator of the universe, the one who sits at the center of the universe. And we know that one of his characteristics is that he's all-knowing. He's omniscient. The storm was sudden, the Word of God says. But it was not a sudden event for Christ. He was not caught off guard. The disciples were. Jesus knew the plan. He knew he would use this naturally occurring event to reveal his authority and power over nature. Just like with Lazarus, he revealed his power and authority over death. With healing the man, the story last year, last week, when he healed the royal official's son from Cana, he revealed his power and authority over distance. That's the God that we serve. And he's the same way in our lives. Jesus is not caught off guard by the trials or the storms we're facing. God is not running around in heaven checking with the Holy Spirit, wondering why didn't the Holy Spirit inform him that something was going on in our lives. No, no, no. He knew. He knows. He already knows. And he has a plan for us, a good plan. But if we stay in the boat, we will get to the other side. Jesus is not asleep. He is not ignoring you or your cries for help. And as the disciples displayed a lack of faith, especially witnessing all that Jesus had done earlier and throughout his journey, it must have been disappointing for Christ. That's why he asked them, why do you have such little faith? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I don't want the Lord to ask me that. Because he's proven to me. I've witnessed all that Jesus has done earlier in my life and what he's doing in my life now. I don't want him to ever ask me that. Jesus has need for your safe passage across the troubled waters because there's work to do. The kingdom of God is at hand. There's ministry work to complete. The harvest is ready. So the Lord has a desire for us to be whole and healed and complete in him who is the head of all principalities. It is his desire that we are well so that we can work the ministry. We do that when we're our best selves. Amen. So we must believe the word and roll on. Without ever seeing the how, we must believe. When the word of God says, I have a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, then believe it. When the word of God says that I will provide every one of your needs, then our disposition must be, I can count on that. Despite not having any proof of sufficient funds in your account, believe it. The issue is that we may not know exactly how God is going to do it. Ladies, we can count on the fact that he will. That he will calm the storm and get us to the other side. So I have a few suggestions as I close. One, decide not to worry, to walk in fear, wringing your hands. It's Jesus' mission, not yours. He gives us the desires of our heart. He puts them there. So it's his mission to complete. not ours. It's Jesus who stated to the disciples, let us go to the other side. Not the disciples. It was Jesus' idea. So Jesus will complete the good work that he begun in you. It's his mission. Stay in the boat. Choose to remain ready for the storms of life. We do hurricane preparation in the natural. We purchase water, food, and other necessary survival resources. We board up the windows. We tie everything down. We should do the same thing in our spiritual walk. We should practice our spiritual disciplines faithfully, because it's through our spiritual disciplines that we're moving on and pursuing godliness. And without godliness, we will not see God. We practice our spiritual discipline because this is what allows us to position ourselves to weather the storm. Through our spiritual disciplines, we create space for time with God. We create physical space, and we create space in our hearts to grow our relationship and our intimacy with God. So it's important for us to prepare ourselves to be ready always, to always be ready, not getting ready, but being ready always. Pray always, and then we ought to wait on the Lord. The Word of God tells us that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle and soar. That waiting on the Lord is important. That it allows us to not only renew our strength, but allows us to fly, to soar. Because it gives God the opportunity to get something to us in order to get something through us. It allows us to hear when our change has come, to be able to hear what the voice of the Lord is saying to us. But it's important for us to understand that this waiting is not sitting around doing nothing. No. This wait means to be about the business of the Lord. It's to move beyond yourself and onto the purpose of our creation and the mission of the kingdom. It's offering the sacrifice of praise. It's offering the sacrifice of service. And so we ought to get in the daily habit of praising the Lord, waiting on him. Then when we mean wait, we mean like a waiter. Not waiting, sitting around doing nothing. This is waiting on the Lord, being eager for his return and eager for what he's doing in our lives. Not just our lives, but the lives of folk around us. So we are to present him with the sacrifice of praise and with the sacrifice of service. That means we ought to be participating in the Great Commission. Again, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is ready. And so the last thing I want to say to you all, lady, is that the disciples, the Word of God says, that they took Jesus alone with them in the boat. That they took Jesus alone with them in the boat. So ladies, I encourage you, let's take Jesus along with us every day. As I say each time we're together, for victorious life, not just tonight or on Sundays, we must invite Christ into our lives and take him along every one of our journeys. Then we will arrive safely to the other side. We will arrive to our destinations. Be encouraged that no man ever need despair reaching his journey's end if he's committed his life to Christ. Christ will carry us through all the dangerous waters and to the other side. Christ will ensure that we are victorious, not just tonight, not just on Sundays, but victorious every day. Amen. I turn you over to the moderator.
Well, praise God, praise God. I was blessed by the woman of God tonight, and I hope that each of you ladies were as well. And may we all take heed not to lose faith, but that we rest in the assurance that Jesus is in the boat with us. I encourage each of you ladies to continue meditating on this word. Allow the Spirit of God to minister to you throughout the rest of this week, as you head into the weekend, as we all go into our respective churches, and to our confidence in his word, that we be confident in his word. If you were encouraged by the teaching tonight, we kindly ask that you do two things. We ask that you share this word of encouragement with another woman and invite a friend to connect with Growing in Grace. And join us next time by forwarding the weekly marketing text that you receive from Growing in Grace each week. If you want to leave a comment about tonight's message, please feel free to text your comment to Growing in Grace text number. That's the same number from which you receive the weekly invitation. If you are in need of prayer, please reach out and contact Growing in Grace using this email, growinginGrace2025@gmail.com. Again, that's growinginGrace2025@gmail.com. I now turn it back over to Sister Vicki Jordan Williams for some important announcements and our closing prayer.
Amen, amen, amen. I don't have any announcements per se. Just want to encourage you ladies to remain encouraged, and that I will see you all in two more weeks from tonight. I want to remind you that the number that you receive the marketing material on, that you can respond and reply to that number, and it comes just to Growing in Grace. It's not public, so feel free to use it. Also, as the moderator has said, that continue to use the email address for prayer. It's been good to be able to pray for the ladies who use the email address and to follow up with them in prayer. It's really been so useful, and I'm grateful to God for it. Amen, amen, amen. And please, as the moderator said, again, I want to reiterate, share Growing in Grace with a friend. Each one bring one, and so we can continue to grow growing in grace. I'm grateful. God has already blown my mind with how quickly he's grown, growing in grace. I'm so grateful for what he's doing, and it's because of what you all are doing. I just encourage you to continue to do it, and so that we can ensure that all of us know someone who need to be encouraged. And instead of using your lunch break to encourage them, give them the marketing material and say, girl, you need to dial in on Thursday night and get some encouragement, while we all collectively as a community, with our sharing and with our participating, how we encourage one another, and with the use of the emails, it's been an encouragement to me, and so I appreciate it. Let's continue to grow together in the grace of God and in being encouragement to one another. So kudos to you ladies for participating, and just continue to do that as we encourage one another. So let's go to God. So, Father God, tonight, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you've done tonight, Lord God. I thank you for the word, Lord God, that you placed in my heart. I thank you for the word of God that you spoke through me with, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you bless the women tonight with this word, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that I believe that this word has fallen on good ground, and Father, that it has taken root, and that it is already producing the harvest that you want to produce. Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that each and every woman is encouraged tonight to share this word with someone else, that another woman or someone else in their life, Lord God, will be encouraged through the word of God in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Father, that you increase our confidence in you, Lord God, that you will stir within us, Lord God, a desire to be with you, to know you more, Lord God, to grow in our intimacy and our knowledge of who you are, knowing you as a good God, as a kind God, a loving God, a faithful God, a God who cannot fail, a God who will not fail, for you are the promise keeper. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for knowing that we can depend on you. So Father God, as we leave this line, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that each and every woman, Lord God, that she is whole, that she is healed, that she is complete in you, who is the head of all principalities. Oh God, I thank you that she walks in all sufficiency and that she lacks nothing, Lord God, and that every one of her needs are met. And Father, I ask, Lord God, that you open up the eyes of her heart, God, that she may see you better, Lord God, and that you would grant each and every one of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may know the hope to which you have called us. So Father, as we leave this line, but never your presence, God, I ask that you keep each and every woman through the night, Lord God. Father, continue to stir this word in her heart in the name of Jesus. She rise tomorrow, Lord God, victoriously, even the more in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that every woman is saved, that every woman is whole. And I thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to perfect each and every one of us through your word. So, Father, we submit to your will. We submit to your way. And it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. And amen.
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 Amen. Good night, ladies. See you in
God bless and love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.